Welcome to Beyond the Beats. My name is Samir Singhal. Thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 3. We are super pumped to be talking to you guys.
Yep, my name's Alec Prieto. It's, you know, Samir, I've just been thinking this week. It's been unbelievable. I just can't get over how awesome this is, doing this with you, man. Like, this is just so much fun. And as probably could, people could probably already tell, we've upgraded our mic system a little bit, which is good.
Yeah. So if we're coming into you guys in your ears in higher quality, it's because we have officially upgraded our microphones. So hopefully, you know, our recordings come out all right. I'm happy that we are continuing this project along, dude. Episode 3. I mean, I feel like time is really flying by. Like, I can't believe it's already our third episode.
It's crazy, man. And there's another thing I was thinking about, too, on the way to recording this, was just the fact that there is so much going on in the electronic music verse, right?
Absolutely.
Like, there is just so much stuff going on. And I think that's why it feels like it's been going by so quickly.
Absolutely, man. You know, it's interesting, listeners, because Alec and I work on our show notes all throughout the week. And, you know, then we sit down together, or actually we talk to each other and we cut, you know, we move things around. We cut some things out. We say, OK, we'll talk about it on the next episode, because like Alec has said, I mean, we could talk for hours and hours and hours on end about what's going on in the EDM scene. But, you know, we have to sometimes cut stuff down because there's so much going on. But we're happy that we get a chance to talk to you guys about it and that we get a chance to discuss it with everybody. So thank you guys for joining us for episode 3. On last week's episode, we talked about, you know, how quickly our show has expanded. And I'm happy to introduce some new countries to our listener list. So thank you guys from Mexico, Ukraine, Chile, Peru, and Venezuela for joining us on our show. You know, like Alec and I said last week, please let us know how you found our podcast. Please reach out to us on Instagram, on our social medias. You can find us at btb.pod on Instagram. And we just want to hear from you guys. Like, we love interacting with everybody. We love the people that follow us. We love when artists follow us as well, because we check out their music. And sometimes that kind of motivates us to want to feature them in our show, which we'll talk about later today. But we got a good show ahead.
Yeah, man, it's a great episode. It's action-packed with a bunch of stuff. You know, we're going to be going over some new songs. It's going to be our What's On Our Radar section. That's Chris Lorenzo, Bro Hug, Marshmello with a bit harder of a song. Feed Me on the opposite end, right? I mean, we were talking about this before, going a little bit lighter. So it'd be very interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, yeah.
Yeah, really surprising, man. Then we've got some awesome updates on news and things like that. RL Grime just started a new record label. Don't know if you guys saw that. Thought that was pretty interesting. Justice and a space opera. Yeah, wow. I know. It's crazy.
Anyways,
we'll get to that section.
Yeah, it's really neat stuff, but
The phase 2 lineup for Ultra, unbelievable.
Dude,
unbelievable,
absolutely,
man.
Insane, yeah.
Unbelievable.
And even Miami Music Week is looking good too.
Oh, dude, that Brownies and Lemonade.
Oh, we will talk about that for sure.
Oh god, I can't believe that. I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Then the Grammys, you know, Grammys are upon us. I believe it's tonight, you were saying, Samir, of the time of recording.
That's right. Yeah, of the time of recording, it's going to be tonight. And then on next week's episode, we will talk about the winners. And, you know, we're going to talk about just, what our thoughts are. And we'd love to hear from you guys as well, what you guys thought about the Grammy Awards. So, you know, we'll post some stuff on our social media pages. So please feel free to comment on those posts in regards to the Grammys. Definitely let us know what you think.
Definitely. I think we'll put up some polls maybe on Instagram story. I know. We're so tech savvy.
With
our new mics and everything, it's great.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're really making it now, man. Yeah, as I sit in this closet, you know, with a blanket kind of wrapped around me, so that way I reduce the feedback. But yeah, we're really tech savvy here.
That's great. I mean, please, listeners, look out for that on Instagram, that picture, and I want to see what you guys think, because that is honestly, that is commitment right there.
Yeah,
I love it.
I love you guys so much. Anyways,
then we're looking at Virtual Selves. New song, God Raised. Oh, I mean, you guys probably,
dude,
unbelievable. Probably saw that, you know, circulating on social media and our social media too. We got a great video for that. Then we're going to go into our, you know, my personal, one of my favorite moments, the anti-plur moment. We've got very meaty, shall we say, topic for you there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Then we've got our classics, the What Are We Listening To? We've got Adam Beyer in there with some Chris Lorenzo. And an artist we're watching, we're going to introduce some. It's a little bit more underground people this week, I think. It's definitely also not as chill. The music is going to be a little bit more hard than last week's artist that we featured.
Well, I think my guy is definitely chiller.
Oh, in terms of the vibe.
Yeah.
I should have said probably my guy, actually.
Yeah. But we're going to get into that. Yeah, so let's get right into it, man. Last week we talked about Social Kid, and we talked about, first of all, we're massive fans of Social Kid. Seems like a really nice guy. We've been interacting with him quite a bit, and he had recently just sent us a link to his new mix. It's part of the Invasion series on SoundCloud, and he was episode number 6. He did a really, really great mix, so definitely encourage you guys to talk about it. Alec has already talked about this on the last episode, feel free to, chime in here on this one, but I mean, you said that Social Kid's mixes have only been getting better and better each time you listen to them, right?
100%, man. 100%. It's only been getting better and better. He's incorporating some of his own edits and remixes of good songs.
Right.
I believe on the last one we talked about it was a remix. I can't remember which one now, but it was one of Reza's songs that he did a really cool flip of.
Sure.
But he's just getting better and better. So, it should be, if he's not on your radar now, then he's got to be, because, and everyone on that Synesthesia, record label, I think it's just a really cool collective group of guys going out and really expanding this mid-tempo genre, subgenre, should I say. And
definitely.
Yeah. So go out, listen to the mix. It's on his, he has a link to it on his Instagram. And we'll post that up in the show notes too.
For sure. Thank you, man. And, Bro Hug has just released Rush. We're massive fans of Bro Hug as well on this show. I mean, we really like Bro Hug a lot, dude. How many times have we seen Bro Hug now at this point?
Five?
Is it three? Four?
Four or five? Maybe I've seen him. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe you have one more time. Yeah. Bro Hug is great. Absolutely love those guys. I mean, they're literally just like three dudes, just having a good time. And they put out some fire music, dude. They put out some fire music. Like, I'll never forget, like, the first time I heard My Place, that song that they have with Chami.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when we were at the No Redemption Tour in Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah.
And that was the first track that was dropped. My Place. That drop is insane. But anyways, Bro Hug has released a new song called Rush. So definitely go check that out on your social or on your streaming platform of choice. Marshmello and Sudden Death, dude. I mean, not something that I was expecting from Marshmello, especially as he just came off, hot from this Fortnite concert with 10 million people in attendance, and also with his massive track with Bastille, Happier. That is really, become an absolutely radio hit. So, he's got all this momentum from, Happier, and he's got the momentum from that Fortnite concert, and he comes out swinging, or should I say Sudden Death came out swinging with an absolutely monstrous bass track. What do you think?
I don't know how I feel about it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
I think we'll reserve this for the anti-player moment.
To
preface it, it's not horrible. I just have a certain bone to pick with the song and how it's done, and it's kind of going on, in the industry right now in general. So we'll save my comments for that section.
Right, listeners, keep an eye out for Alex's hot take on on Sellout. The new Marshmello and Sudden Death collaboration there. And then, dude, speaking of harder stuff, Feed Me. Feed Me just came out with a new track called Feel Love. Got this housey, chilled out vibe. It's a departure from his usual dubstep sound, and I'll listeners, a little bit of history on myself. Feed Me was one of the first people where I really started to listen to dubstep. So when this track was announced or when this track was dropped, I was kind of excited to check it out. But I was definitely not expecting what I heard, and I'm going to be honest, definitely not a song for me, but, definitely go check it out on your streaming platform of choice.
I respect what he's trying to do, rather. You know what I mean? I don't know if the execution of it was perfect. I definitely agree with you. It came kind of out of the blue. But then again, I say out of the blue, and we've got people like Borgor making an entire jazz album that happened last year. So, you gotta love the guy. And I'm not going to lie, it's actually pretty damn good. And I like my jazz. And I was like, whoa, this is actually pretty solid.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't think I've ever listened to that track. I should talk about that album.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that next week. How about that? We'll save that.
All right. That sounds good. I love it. We're already drumming up hype for episode 4.
Woo.
Disclosure and Khalid, they just came out with, you know, what I think is going to be a radio smasher, or probably already is on the radio. It's called Talk. And, you know, just my personal opinion on the song. I don't know. I think it's I think Disclosure's sound was a little bit watered down. You know, Khalid's vocals. Well, Khalid, I think, is a very gifted vocalist. I think he's got a lot of talent. But I, you know, this track definitely did not feel like it had that Disclosure signature house sound. You know, like at least when Latch came out, you know, with Sam Smith. You know, I mean, we're talking back in 2014, obviously. But that was perfect. You know, I feel like we got a lot of the unique Disclosure production that people were looking for. And I don't think that this song did that for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is tying kind of into what Josephelstein has done with The Weeknd, right?
Right.
You know, and he has done that. I believe he also produced some songs on Yeezus for Kanye West.
Yes, yes, he did. Yeah.
Yes, right. You know, and yeah. I do, you know, I'm not going to lie. You know, I kind of like how you've got electronic music producers going in and doing this for rappers and R&B and more mainstream people and artists, just because I think it opens up the opportunity for these more mainstream artists to go a bit more experimental with what they do. I agree with you, Samirin, that, you know, I think it was watered down on Disclosure's end, and I think it was much more along the lines of what Khalid does regularly, and it's definitely designed to be a radio hit. But I do like the fact that there's an opportunity now for some of these artists to go a bit outside of their comfort zone with these producers, because, you know, it's about time, and it's been more under the radar, but, you know, people know that electronic music producers are incredibly talented producers.
They can go
across the board in terms of what styles of music they can make, right? And I think it just shows it with, you've got all these people now getting involved in hip hop songs, right? You've got Skrillex doing that, and he's been doing that for a while, but Nightmare, I believe, even did a couple hip hop songs. You know, so there's this, you know, confluence now, which I hope is going to push the mainstream music industry in a more, okay, you know, let's start dabbling in some things that we normally don't. Because to be honest, I'm just getting tired of the radio hits.
Agreed, dude. 100% agreed, man. I feel like, and I don't want to sound old, like, you know, you kids get off my lawn, but I feel like radio music kind of sucks now, dude. You know, I don't know why. It just does, you know. Every once in a while, there will be some good tracks that come out, and I'll blast them for days on end. But yeah, I completely agree. I think radio music has become incredibly stale. And we talked about this on our last episode. It is cool to see, on our last episode, on episode 1, we talked about how house music and techno is becoming more ingrained into mainstream culture, more so house music than techno. And I think this is just another one of those examples where, you know, house artist duo like Disclosure and Khalid, you know, a very popular R&B star, coming together to put out a track which will appeal to hopefully both audiences of, you know, electronic music fans and, you know, R&B and hip hop fans. And again, I feel like this was kind of watered down in terms of the Disclosure production.
100% agree with you there, man. I really do. And it's the same with, as we mentioned last episode, with the Josephelstein Weeknd song. Same kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it was just not recognizably at all that producer, which is fine, but it's just like, you know, I don't know. I was disappointed because I thought he would maybe push the boundaries a little bit more. And maybe he will.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he will. So I don't want to, you know, let's qualify that.
Let's not get too down on him yet. So we'll have to see what happens. And then finally, you know, we got Cascade. He just released this song called Love Me Like You Used To with vocalist Cecilia Galt. And I love it, man. I really, really love it a lot. You know, I think I've become more of a Cascade fan over this past year, especially seeing him at Ultra.
You know, man, like, I've always been a Cascade fan, and I think it's just interesting watching him. And I told you before on the phone, before we started recording, that it was actually my dad that got me into Cascade, believe it
Which
or not.
Which is so cool.
It's this song, I remember, because that is a classic, obviously, right? But there was another song before. Yeah. You know, I'll make a post or something about it. But it's an awesome song that my dad introduced me to. I mean, this was, you know, before 2010.
Dude. Yeah, throwback.
I mean, but that was kind of his vibe, and my dad really liked that. That was a time where Moby was, you know, a lot bigger too, and my dad introduced me to Moby as well. So maybe Cascade's going a little bit more. It's not quite like those songs. It's not as you were saying before. It's not really progressive house. But I think he might be going a little bit back to his roots, because I would pay to go see, you know, he's so expensive to go see, but you know, if he continues this trend with his new releases, I definitely would cough up the money to go see him.
Totally agreed. And he's such a great vibe setter as well. You know what I mean? I think his sets also just flow extremely well. So yeah, I'm a fan of this new song called "Love Me Like You Used To" with Cascade, Cecilia Galt on the vocals, and you know, definitely encouraging everybody who's listening to the show today. Definitely go check that song out, and we'll have it linked in our show notes as well.
Definitely, yeah.
Awesome, dude. Alec, guess what?
What,
dude? We have less than 100 days until EDC Vegas. I know, man. I'm beyond hyped right now for EDC, you know, and I'm just excited that our girlfriends are coming with us. I'm excited to see you out there in San Francisco before the trip. I mean, dude, like, it's coming up fast, you know. I've been getting some serious FOMO, you know, because Ultra had just dropped their Phase 2 lineup, which we will definitely be talking about because it's absolute fire. You know, I know EDC is right on the horizon. May is going to be here very soon, and I'm very excited for it.
It's going to be great, you know, and one of the things I'm really excited about is that it's not going to be as bloody hot as it was last time.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I don't know whose idea was to host a fucking music festival in the Vegas desert in June, dude, in June. And, yeah, I mean, listeners, if you guys haven't been to an EDC Vegas, I think 2018 was actually the first time that they moved it to May, you know, while it was being held in Vegas. We went in 2017 when it was still in June, and I mean, it was hot. It was so, so hot. Even at night, it was still in the high 90s, you know? Like, when a breeze would roll in at some of the stages, like, people would just stop dancing and just, like, face their face towards the breeze, because that's how good it felt.
I mean, I just remember getting off the bus, the shuttles, and it feeling... Okay, well, that was that one time where there was no AC going on, and that I was so mad. I was just so pissed. And we were on the top too. It was like one of those double decks.
Yeah, heat rises. Yeah,
My God. I was gonna kill somebody. And it was an hour, an hour in the fact that you go out and it's like, what, we got there at least, you know, like kind of like 6-ish PM, right? So it's still decently hot. And
Definitely.
The inside of the shuttle was warmer than the outside. So when we went outside, and it's still 90 degrees plus, it felt cool. I mean,
listeners, Alec is not joking around here. It was hot as hell in that bus. And Alec was having none of the bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, he was not putting up with anybody trying to cheer him up, anybody trying to have fun with him. I was trying to talk to him.
Do not touch me.
Dude, I can't do this right now. Just don't talk to me right now. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
Yeah.
We got out and the mood instantly changed, and we had an absolute blast at EDC, and we can't wait to be back. But, and I hope R.L. Grime is there, dude, because he's starting a movement right now with his new record label, Sable Valley. Sable Valley. Am I saying that right? It's not Sable, right? Now people like say Sabre.
This isn't like Sabre, you know, Savage and Savage. You know, like, you know, there's no accent on the E. I think it's Sable Valley. I'm hoping so. R.L. Grime, tell us what's going on, man. Like,
100%, man.
But yeah, Matt. You know, I'm glad that you brought that up because I think it's really, I'm really impressed with what R.L. Grime is doing.
Absolutely.
You know, we saw him in Brooklyn. Not too long ago, in November, right? Or December?
December, end of December, yeah.
End of December, that's right. And that was a really cool show. And I was really impressed with what he's doing. I mean, I know he's always been creative, but I think he's been making some moves recently. Like, I feel like there was a year or so there where he didn't really do too much. You know, I guess he was prepping all of this stuff, which is... So I'm excited. I'm really excited. Like, lots of new music and now the record label... I think he's trying to cultivate a real record label for future trap, right? That kind of, you know, some of the Boombox Cartel songs where it's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the trap version of melodic dubstep, you know? It's just like got that futurish feel, which is why Kid was there at the show. Boombox Cartel Agreed. Was there with him. And it was perfect because it's got that, you know, mix with the, you know, the focus on the high ends as well as the low ends, you know, this going back and forth, but it's got that, you know, futuristic ambience to it, which I really freaking like, by the way. I think it's an awesome, you know, new subgenre that's really starting to take over. And I think RL Grime wants to be leading the charge on that.
Absolutely. And, you know, he, in preparation for, you know, the launch of his record label, he released a song with Graves. It's called Arcus, and it's actually, I think it's a very good song. And, you know, I think it pays, you know, homage to what you just said, Alec, about, you know, wanting to have this unique sound, you know, not wanting to sound like everybody else in this bass scene, you know, in this dubstep scene, in this trap scene. Like, I think he's really trying to find artists that have a more unique sound and don't, you know, kind of follow along with the trends of, you know, the same kind of structures, the same kind of drum patterns, and the same kind of synths. You know, they're motto is the time for a solution is now. And I think, you know, RL Grime really wants to be the forefront of trying to breathe new life and fresh talent into this bass scene. And I'm very excited to see what he does with this record label. I think it's going to be great stuff.
Couldn't agree more, man. I really couldn't agree more. So talking about doing things differently, Justice is space opera. I know you've been doing some research and this was really your find. So talk to us. Tell me, man, what's going on?
Dude. First of all, Justice is amazing in general. You know, I've never had the fortune of, you know, seeing them live, but I've seen so many videos and just the way that they do it, you know, live with a bunch of synthesizers, analog synthesizers on stage, you know, and drum machines and this and that. It just looks amazing. Their production looks absolutely incredible. You know, these guys have been around for a very long time. And, you know, Justice is creating a space opera and it's called Iris. And, I did a little bit of research on this. You know, it's supposed to be a 60-minute film and it's about basically the live show that Justice had done from 2017 to 2018. And it's going to be released, or it's actually going to be showcased at South by Southwest, in March of 2019 in Austin, Texas. And it's kind of interesting what they're doing here, you know, and, you know, usually when we see like these recordings of live shows, you're going to get like, okay, you know, we'll just say, I don't even know what example to use here, but basically it's going to be a live concert recording of cameras and multiple angles. You know, you're going to have shots of the crowd and things like that. Here, Justice is creating a completely different kind of experience. You know, there's not going to be any audience, you know, being showcased. So it's not going to be like it's live at a concert like we're used to. It's going to be 60 minutes of their live show, but they're going to be in this massive production, you know, with a structure that has 13 independent moving frames, each one with four rotating panels of like LEDs and mirrors and, you know, the warm lights that they normally use, you know, and warm lights meaning like that kind of like, you know, normal yellow glowy kind of light, not like the blue, reds and greens that we see. And, you know, they have a massive production team behind it, you know, great production, great director behind it. And basically they're going to be playing their music live like they normally do at a show. And they're just going to be having this insane amount of production happening all around them, showing different things on the screens and, you know, with the lights and everything. So I think it's going to be really, really neat, dude. I think it's going to be groundbreaking. And I don't normally say those kinds of words. You know, I don't like to be, you know, I guess I don't like to be dramatic, so to speak, but I think that this is going to be huge, and I'm very excited to see it, and it's going to be released at South by Southwest in March of 2019. So yeah, more good stuff to come on that, man.
Love it, dude. Love it. Yeah, I don't think there's anything really to add on to that. I'm you got me all hyped, man. I can't wait,
dude. We should watch it like in our respective houses at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like kind of like we're having a little movie night. You know, just like we'll press play at the same time.
I'll put you on. I'll put you on Skype. Skype. Yeah, we can. You know, eat food, watch.
100%, dude.
It's getting a little strange. Yeah, it's getting a little strange,
right? All right. So, anyways, moving on before we get too much into that. Ultra. Oh my God, dude. They have truly, truly pulled out all the stops for this year's lineup. Phase 2 was just released, and Dude, honestly, when I saw it, and I had no intention of going to Ultra this year, you know, we did it last year and had a good time with it. But when I saw this lineup, dude, I was seriously considering going again. You know, like, really? I was like looking into Airbnbs and flights, and had a couple of people from our Ultra crew, you know, hit me up as well saying, you know, let's go to Ultra. I'm not gonna be able to make the trip this year.
No, but it's not. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a buzzkill with this, but you know, logistics are gonna be an absolute nightmare.
I don't know, man. We'll see.
You know, I hope. You know what? I'm hoping I'm wrong, because then I'm, you know, honestly pretty down to book it for next year, right?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. For me, it's a wait and see. Like, this is incredibly enticing, but. You know, yeah. But if I had to choose, you know, one of my trips, it was definitely going to be EDC over it, just because they've got this down and they keep innovating right. It, you know, and I would really hate to go and have some real like logistical issues, because it's such a new space. And I don't blame them for it. I don't think it's, you know, going to be necessarily their fault. It's just, that's a tough thing to pull off, you know, when you're bringing in, you know, crazy amounts of new production, there's completely new logistics. And it's already Miami, so it's going to be packed. Right. You know, so yeah, we'll see. But what a freaking lineup. I'm so happy and glad to see them really pulling out all the stops for it, you know.
Dude, they really did.
Love that.
They really did.
Absolutely love it. I mean, they've got so many great people.
Absolutely, dude. Somebody said something very interesting. They said that this, I was reading this, I think, on r/UMF, the Ultra Music Festival community on Reddit. This should have been the 20th anniversary of Ultra lineup right here. And you know what, man? Look, I really enjoyed seeing Swedish House Mafia. I really, really did. I'm not gonna lie. It was it was surreal, dude. It was awesome. And you know, just because I'd never seen Swedish House Mafia before, obviously. And I didn't think that I would ever see them because they had broken up. But, you know, and seeing them, you know, last year at Ultra was really amazing. But this lineup is crazy, dude. Dogblood, you got Skrillex and Boys Noize going back to back, dude. Odessa, you got Gigantic Nightmare, which is Big Gigantic, and Nightmare putting on a show, which is something I never would have thought I would have seen there.
Well, you heard their new track. You heard their new track together, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, dude, no.
Oh, dude. Oh,
yeah, man. Dude. We'll give that a little update next episode. But yes. I'm sorry, I didn't even realize that you haven't heard that track. I like
no
it.
Idea. No, I'll have to check it out.
I really, really like it. So yeah, go.
Hell yeah.
Go check that out.
Yeah. You know, and in addition to, you know, Adam Baer and Sirius D doing their back-to-back, Eric Prydz is doing another set. Like, you got Eric Prydz, and then you got Sirius D going back-to-back with Adam Baer. So just fucking amazing, dude. I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, Chami and Mala, they're not doing, you know, the set together, but they got their own sets. Jay Wolf, you got Kid.
Well, Mala's closing a stage, isn't he?
Yes. He's closing the worldwide stage, I believe.
Awesome.
So he's going to be playing after Dogblood on the Friday. Dude, I know Keizo, Ghastly, Rez, Space Jesus, who my brother is seeing actually tonight on the day of the recording. Oh. So I'll have to ask him how that goes. Yeah. Vinny Vicky, you know, going back to back with Infected Mushroom. I mean, dude, for real. I mean, this is absolutely nuts. You got Nero as well. Like, holy shit.
Is Nero going?
Nero's there, dude. Okay. They're playing on the radio stage. You know, when Mousetrap is hosting the stage. Yeah, is that insane? Stamped Records is also hosting the stage on the Sunday, which is Martin Garrix's label.
Jeez,
I know.
Wow,
I know.
Well, yeah, you know, hats off to them.
For real, yeah. They really pulled out all the stops on this year's Ultra lineup. And also Miami Music Week is just absolutely nuts. You know, Ali and Phila is doing a show. You got Chocolate Puma. Adam Baer is doing a drum code show. You got Pete Tong, Prida. So not only do we have Sirius D back-to-back Adam Baer and Eric Prydz playing at the festival, but then you got Prida. And so listeners, keep in mind, this is Eric Prydz's, this is three of his five aliases. And then he's got Prida doing an after party during Miami Music Week. And then the best one of them all, Alec.
Brownies and Lemonade.
Dude, Brownies and Lemonade. These guys are constantly coming out with some fire, dude. Seriously.
Yeah, you know, that when they were hosting the radio stage last year at Ultra, where we went and see them, like, it was just fantastic. Like, they just had some awesome,
great
awesome people come
day,
through.
Dude.
And
great
like
vibe.
We're looking at this, you've got Watson not there. You know, they haven't, I don't think they've announced quite some of the back-to-backs, but they got Cray, who we saw there. Cray is a, I believe she's actually a New Yorker.
I think you're right.
We went and saw her by accident. Do you remember that?
Who are we trying to say?
Crane.
Oh, we're trying to say Crane, right? Yeah.
someone said Cray, and I was, I don't know. I misinterpreted what they said, but I was very pleasantly surprised, with that.
It was a happy, happy mistake, but yeah.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Yeah. And then you've got 1788L back-to-back Blanque. I don't know how to say his name. I'm sorry, man. But he's awesome, by the way.
I think it's pronounced blank. Blank. But yeah, you got it.
There we go.
Come on, man. No need to complicate it, dude.
Yeah, I know. I just did my own mistake there. That was criticizing you.
All good.
A-Track back-to-back Anna Luneau. That is going to be wild. Have you ever seen Anna Luneau? Oh, yeah.
I never have. I really want to, though. But yeah, that's nuts. I never seen A-Track either. I would love to see A-Track. Dude.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. That would be really nice. Yeah. And then Wheaton is doing a back-to-back with somebody. I've never seen Wheaton, by the way.
I never have. Wheaton is interesting, dude. I thought he was doing chill music.
Yeah.
But he's kind of into trap. He's
I know.
Willing to
like
trap.
He did the what's it? He did a Sicko Mode remix that you sent me. That was awesome.
Yes. Yeah. He did a flip of the Skrillex remix of Sicko Mode. Quick side note, by the way. My girlfriend listened to episode 2 and she texted me after she listened to it. She's like, I hate you. I'm like, why? She's like, because you said that you like the Skrillex remix better than the original. I'm like, I don't care. That's the truth. But anyways.
Oh, Lord. Love it.
But did we mention Dog Blood yet?
Oh, Jesus. God, no. Dog Blood is there too. Holy crap. Yeah. Dog Blood's there. Oops.
Yeah. Oh,
which
goodness.
We saw closing of Webster Hall in New York.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Incredible.
You know, ripped to Webster Hall because that was such a great night. You know, Skrillex did the closing party. You know, I'll never forget when we both copped tickets and, you know, we were there. I mean, it went on until 6 a.m. I think we stayed until like 5:30. And then at one point, I think, they did the Dog Blood show, which was just absolutely, absolutely amazing. Boys Noize and Skrillex going back to back. Really, really great vibe. Really good time.
Yeah, man, that was unbelievable. So people were in for a treat.
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, listeners, if you guys are heading down to Miami Music Week or if you're heading down to Ultra, please, please, please send us videos. You know, we'd love to post it on our social medias. Send us Instagram, you know, stories and Instagram chats and things like that. We just want to see what kind of crazy debauchery you guys are getting up to. We had a good time at Ultra, and we want to see everybody else having a good time as well. So please let us know how it is down there, especially with the new layout of the festival. So, anyways, dude, moving on. Tonight is a big night in the music world.
Indeed.
The Grammy Awards are tonight.
Indeed, you know, and I know which part I'm going to be most interested in paying attention to. The dance rackets, right? And, you know, so you've got, you know, it's really nice to see some of these people doing it. But I want to get your take on it. Maybe, I don't know if it'll be part of the anti-player moment for you, but we'll see. You know, nominated for the best dance recording. Above and Beyond, Northern Soul. Fantastic freaking song. Love it.
Yeah, it is a good song.
Disclosure, Ultimatum. I was actually a little bit surprised to see this one as well as the Silk City and Dua Lipa.
Disclosure one, not so much, but the Silk City one, I was kind of surprised to see there.
Yeah, okay, I guess you're right, actually. Yeah, Ultimate, it was good. But Electricity, I was also surprised to see. I mean, Diplo's been on a tear with these songs, by the way.
Oh, right? For sure,
with
dude,
LSD,
for sure.
You know, all those type of things. And then we've got, you know, which I think should definitely, hands down, win it, Virtual Self, Ghost Voices.
Yes.
Hands down should win it, but it's a danger of losing to losing it.
Dude, that was good. Hey. I love that. That was actually really funny.
Dad jokes.
Yeah, for real, man. For real. God, I feel bad for your future kids. But,
Hey, excuse me. Whoa. Oh, anti-player moment again.
Where's the love, man? I'll stop with the anti-player. Yeah, for real. Peace, love, unity, respect.
Thank you. Emphasis on the respect.
Anyways, Fisher's losing it, dude. Let me tell you, man, I am losing my mind with listening to this song. Yeah, sorry. It's not going to stop now for the rest of the episode. With hearing this song so many damn times, dude, it's kind of become an irritating song to me.
But you know, it's so sad because he went out and did his job and he did an amazing freaking song. I mean, that song is fire. So I actually saw it before. It was the week before he released it. It was at Hideout Croatia. Yeah. Really interesting, cool festival, which we'll talk about another time. It was a good festival though. And he played it for a beach party. And he was saying, you know, you guys are going to love this. You're going to lose it. This track's coming out next week. And this was over the summer. It was amazing. And so I thought, I just saw how amazing this song was. But then it just suddenly blew up and everyone started playing it. People who don't even play house and tech house.
I know.
Right? And that's so what annoying. Got me. I was just like, come on. Like, and they ruined it. They ruined it for me. Because you're right. It's a shame because it's an awesome freaking track, you know. And people didn't... I'm surprised that people didn't do that as much with Ghost Voices, interestingly enough, by the way.
Yeah.
Where they didn't quite touch it, which I thought was nice. I thought that was nice. They kind of like left it. Maybe it's because it's, you know, virtual... He, you know, took something completely... And made something completely new, right? It was nostalgic, but yet new at the same time, right? You know, the paying homage to the 90s techno and early 2000s, you know, Eurodance music. So anyway, we'll see what happens there.
I'm excited.
I'm excited to see too, man. And then, the best dance electronic album, John Hopkins Singularity, Justice Woman Worldwide, Sophie Tucker Treehouse, Sophie, Oil of Every Pearl's Under Insides. I think that's an interesting name. Toki Monster and Loon Rouge. Have you really listened to some of these? I haven't really listened to Matt too much.
I really haven't either. And I think I've listened to Sophie Tucker's Treehouse. I'm going to check them out. And then I'm going to make my own opinion. And then I'll check out what happens with the Grammys as well. You know, it's going to be interesting to see. But I just want to quickly point out here. Just want to quickly point out something interesting here. Best dance recording, and now keep in mind the Grammys have been going on since the 50s. Best dance recording was first introduced in 1998, and then the best dance / electronic album was first introduced in 2005. You know, so Alec and I have touched upon this common theme that we're seeing with electronic music. It's becoming more and more recognized by artists all around the world, by professionals, by industry leaders. And, we're seeing very interesting collaborations. And I think that, you know, with the introduction of these categories in the Grammys, and keep in mind, it happened, about 15 or 20 years ago, we're just going to continue to see more and more of this synchronization between electronic music and mainstream culture, if we haven't already seen it already. So it's pretty interesting that the Grammys recognizes electronic music. I love it. You know, it's a true art form. And I really do love to see these kinds of things in the Grammys.
Yeah, agreed, man. I hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah. And then just some of the nominees for Best Remix as well. You got CID, you got EDX, you got Cosmic Gate, you got Cascade, Muramasa. So, you know, keep an eye out on our socials. We're gonna talk about these. We're going to talk about the winners as well. And, we're just very excited for congratulations to all of these nominees. And we're just very excited to see the results as well.
Definitely, man. You know, and this is a fantastic segue into what has just taken social media by storm.
Oh, my God.
Already know. Oh, my God. God raised, you know, when seeing that. You know, I thought it was really neat how... He didn't post a teaser or anything like that, right? Like, these were people's videos that just...
He just tweeted about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. I love that. Great little marketing play there. Like, let the song speak for itself. And wow, was that awesome.
Massive track, dude. Absolutely massive track. I remember when... And I think it was first premiered at the Thursday night show in L.A. And then I got to my office on Friday morning and I, you know, was browsing r/Porter Robinson. And, you know, I see the clip of this new song, God's Rays. Dude, I could not believe, first of all, the song itself is amazing. And then the live show production that, you know, goes along with it is just so well done. Porter, virtual self, whatever you want to call him, puts a lot of thought into, you know, the music that he creates and the show that he puts on. And God's Rays is just absolutely amazing in all of those aspects. So, listeners, definitely go check out our Facebook page and our Instagram page and our Twitter account, actually. We do have a video of God's Rays being played for the first time in L.A. from that Thursday night show. It's just absolutely monstrous.
Yeah, Was just, wow. I mean, you know, and the light, he did a great, you know, amazing production again. What's the name of his production guy again?
Ghost Dad.
Ghost Dad. Okay. And he did that too, I imagine. I assume so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ghost Dad is on this tour as well. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would love to speak to him one day. That'd be awesome.
I think that'd be actually very, very interesting, man. Yeah. I think once the virtual self tour starts to slow down a little bit, it might be very interesting to talk to Ghost Dad and see, you know, what it's like working with Porter.
Yeah.
I'll try to find him online. Yeah. That might be kind of cool. Yeah.
Keep an eye out, guys. I mean, look, we're innovating over here. Innovating.
For sure. Great content. Yeah, we got some good stuff coming your way.
Great content. Yeah. You know, maybe we'll get some sponsors that we don't go broke, but no.
Right.
Just kidding. But not. So before the anti-plur moment, though, let's get to something that is a little bit more lighthearted and what we both like. Cascade. Man, I believe talk to me because you found this one online.
Dude, I think this is awesome. And I think, it's a good way to kind of contrast the anti-plur moment we're about to go into here. Cascade. Seems like such a great guy. So a little bit of a backstory here. He has this fan who I believe when he was 15 or 16 was diagnosed with cancer and was receiving treatment and chemotherapy. And, you know, he had a wish from the Make-A-Wish Foundation that, provides these sort of experiences to these, sick patients, to these children, just to kind of lighten up their spirits and, you know, brighten their moods. And so this particular fan wanted to meet Cascade. And so, you know, I think the Make-A-Wish Foundation was working on it. I think the fan himself also posted something online to the Cascade fan group. Somebody on Cascade's team had picked it up. And so, you know, they were working. They basically reached out to the kid. They said, save your Make-A-Wish Foundation. Use it for something else. We're going to make this happen regardless. We're going to make this happen. And so, you know, from what I gathered from, you know, just from what I've read online, his team had been in contact with this person. And finally, on his 18th birthday, he threw a party. You know, the guy is now cancer-free, which is amazing. Congratulations.
Yes, indeed.
Just absolutely amazing. And Cascade, while this 18-year-old fan was playing music to his friends at the birthday party, Cascade comes out.
Wow.
And asks him if he wants to go back-to-back. Dude, can you imagine? Like, I just absolutely insane. I mean, and this is why I love this scene so much, dude. Really, really great stuff here. Just kudos to Cascade. And we're gonna post the article. We're gonna post the pictures as well, so everybody can check them out because really they are very heartwarming pictures, and the story is really quite great as well.
Love it, man. I mean, yeah, that is absolutely. It's just great to see people be authentic and genuine in that way. You know, Yeah, I think that was just perfect. You know, I think it was a really, really beautiful thing to see.
Totally agreed, dude. Totally agreed. All right, Alec, we've been hyping it up. Let's switch gears here, dude. We're going to move right into it. The anti-plur moment. Dude, let's hear your hot take on this week's anti-plur moment. I want to hear it.
So, you know, first of all, before I get into it, it's not necessarily anti-plur. It's just I'm not showing, you know, all too much love for the new Sudden Death Marshmallow song. Now, look, let's hear me out here. I think part of my issue, and I think it's a trend in general that you're seeing with some of these more mainstream DJs, is that you know, I love the fact that, you know, they see that people are really enjoying harder stuff, right, and bass music, and they're going out and doing collaborations with people who normally they may not do with. For instance, the Chainsmokers with Azar. Right, A-A-Z-A-R. And, you know, the drops are great. And the drop on this song is no exception. Like, it's a hard drop. But I don't like how it seems the song is it's like almost two separate songs, right? It just sounds like Marshmello went in and just did, like, you know, as if it was like a live edit and switched the drops to a Sudden Death drop, right? It doesn't seem like it flows. And for me, if you're gonna, you know, and I think maybe, hopefully a lot of dubstep and bass, musicians would agree with me here, is that what makes a lot of the really good dubstep is if the melody flows into the drop, right? The drop is based off of the melody, and it's one synchronous song where it's almost a build-up for those drops, right? I mean, I love some of the hard drops. Don't get me wrong. So it's not me being like, oh, it goes too hard. It just doesn't sound right. To me, it sounds like too fragmented is really the word for
right.
it, right? Yeah. You know, and so maybe if this was a live edit, right, that could make a little bit more sense. Marshmello had like mm-hmm. a regular Marshmello drop, and then he was like, all right, let's like, you know, let's fuck some people up and put in like...
For sure.
You know?
Which I love, dude. I love when they just drop shit like that unexpectedly, because obviously it just completely changes the energy level, you know, which we're total fans of that. And, you know, Alec is no stranger to harder dubstep and bass music, like he said before. But yeah, anyway, sorry, man. I just wanted to interject.
No, definitely, man. Yeah. You're 100% right. And it's just like, I'm just like, why are you, you know, this isn't really you. So don't, you know, if right. you're going to go a different direction, don't half-ass it. Don't be on the fence. Go that different direction, whether you create an alias, kind of like what Getter has done, right? I mean, I think Getter is absolutely genius. I can't remember what his alias is, right? He has a couple. He has a rap right. one. But he keeps them almost separate, right? But you don't even have to do that. You could do kind of what Jaws has done and incorporate a lot more house and slowly move towards that way too. And then his sets combine his older style, which is more of the, you know, bass house, you know, almost dubstep type of music with this, you know, exactly. house that, you know, it's got a couple of releases yeah. with example. And I love it. I absolutely love it when it's, you know, but in one song, you can't mash those things together.
Totally.
Unless the totally. Melody is matching the drop, in my opinion. And look, I'm not a producer. I'm not, you know, a sound design or sound engineer expert, but I know for a fact that it just doesn't sound like it flows. It just sounds like someone just said, let's put some ugly sounding drop in there. Right. And like for the sure. drop is dirty. Like it is. It's a dirty freaking drop. And I, you know, I like a lot of Sudden Death songs because, but then again, his songs, they all flow with, you know, within the yeah. framework of the song. And I think it's just it just seems displaced, man. Like, I don't know. I don't like that because, as I said before, Chainsmokers did that too with their new thing. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't, right. and I don't like that. It doesn't create a story. It doesn't, you know, it's just like, oh, let's just surprise.
It's not harmonized.
No,
yeah.
it's just not. It, absolutely. You know, it's just, yeah, I don't get it, you know, and I get they're making fun because they're like, oh, sell out, like, you know, like Sundance. Like, I get that. And I get all that playing around with it and being like, yeah, Marshmello can go hard. But it's like, I don't know why he's doing it. It doesn't seem like there's a point. Right. Like, is this just to say, hey, kind of like with the Chainsmokers, is it, hey, I can go hard too. Bullshit. That's not what music should be about. Like, yeah, do you and stay you, right? Like, when Virtual Self came out of all his new stuff, there are people who didn't like it. He didn't just sit there and go, oh, well, you know, screw it. I'm just going to, you know, give in and not do what I want. No. If you have right. a brand, if you do you. And, like, people who like it will follow, right? But don't yeah. just do a one-off thing where you're like, yeah, I can play dubstep too and I can make dubstep too. Yeah, fuck you guys. No, like, don't have that type of reaction. Like, if you're doing it, do it for an artistic, you know, point. Like, there's a point. It's in expressionism, just like in art. Like, if you're going to do something different, add a little bit of a different flair to it. Do that for that sole purpose of being artistic, not to, you know, for sure. be like, you know, on Twitter fingers being, F you, I can make hard music too, which is what the Chainsmokers did when they played at Ultra, right? And that's just for me where I was just like, come on, man. Like, you know, I know it's hard with all the pressure and people getting at you for it, but, you know, don't listen to them. Do you? Like, you're talented freaking people, you know. You don't have to just force something. Anyway,
agreed. Dude, that was great. No, seriously, man, I mean, you've really just, you got it, man, because this is exactly why I do not like the Chainsmokers right here. You know, I don't like them because they put out, you know, some really actually some great standalone songs, you know, Don't Let Me Down and, you know, tracks like that.
Roses.
And then Roses. Oh, absolutely. Roses is such a great song. And then they I don't know what they do, dude, but during their sets, they just try to go absolutely hard as shit, which I love, dude. I love headbanging. I'm all about it. It's not, you know, I'm no stranger to it, but have a cohesive image. Have a cohesive sound. Don't just try to do what is popular. And that's why I don't like the Chainsmokers. And you know what, dude? I completely agree with what you said about this song. It just seems like Marshmello is trying to say, like, I can go hard as hell, too. Check out this song I did with Sudden Death.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, those sounds that are hard in this song, that's probably all Sudden Death. You know what I mean? But because Marshmello's name is attached to it now, it, you know, he might now start to be perceived as somebody who, like, wow, he goes really hard. Like, let's go see him because he plays some hard shit.
Well, you know, and I've heard it's
definitely not the case.
I mean, and I've heard his sets are like, he does incorporate some of that stuff. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, I've heard a lot of people say his sets are fun. And so I don't have an issue with his sets per se, right? Because apparently people have said that he balances it quite well, actually, and it works.
Okay.
And even some of the more dubby songs that he plays are more a little bit in line with his melodies. Again, it's about transitioning from that beginning part of the song into the drop where it makes sense, right? Like, they play off one another, right? Not that it doesn't, absolutely, you know, it shouldn't sound like you've just went on Audacity and cut out the drop of another song and just meshed it with another one, right?
Totally
it should go off one another.
Totally agree.
And that's why, like, look, man, like, go hard, like, do you, do that. But, like, do it from the get-go, like, you know, create an EP or something with songs like this, right? Like, you know, but where it's more cohesive, where, you know, you're not trying to, you know, mishmash your brands, because your brand can evolve. You don't have to just stick with the same old thing, right? Like, you don't have to do that. Even if you keep the same alias, like, you don't have to do that. Like, again, Jules is a great example, someone who's successfully done that. And it's tricky, it's tough. But, you know, have that confidence to go out and, you know, realize how great of a freaking musician you are, right? No one's doubting that. No one's doubting that the Chainsmokers are not talented. They are, right? The fact that they're phenomenal artists. But anyway, too long on that section. You know, let's move on.
That was hot.
Yeah, that was
a hot take. I'm like burning up over here just listening to that.
I know.
Yeah.
But, okay, so let's get on to some more positive things, right? Stuff that we both like. Adam freaking Beyer and Amelie Lenz.
Dude.
Love the acid first remix. Go on.
Yeah, no. I mean, wow. I gotta say, first of all, we're talking about the Teach Me track from Adam Beyer, you know, which, first of all, when that song dropped, great release, great song from Adam Beyer. It's super, super catchy. It was dominating techno dance floors for that year in 2014. And then Amelie Lenz, you know what I mean? She decided that she's going to release two remixes of this song. One is the Amelie Lenz remix, and one is the Amelie Lenz acid remix. And this was Drum Code's 200th release. So first of all, congratulations to Adam Beyer and his team on that. But wow, dude, Amelie Lenz came in and just absolutely smashed it. I first heard this song when Ultra did a teaser for their Resistance Island at Ultra Music Festival, you know, for their techno brand. They're doing like these three stages that's going to be kind of separated from the rest of the festival. And they used the Teach Me Amelie Lenz acid remix in the promo video. And even then, it smashed in that. And now that we have a full release of it, this remix is so, so damn good. So, I mean, I love it, Alec. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%, man. Like, this is just great, you know.
Yeah.
Amelie Lenz, like, she is just on a tear.
On fire, dude.
On
absolutely
everything she touches is turned into freaking gold, and I love it. I have to see her. You know, just fantastic. And then again, as you said, congrats to Drum Code. Drum Code for life.
Dude.
Is that the same? What do they say? Is that it?
Drum Code for life. That's how Adam Beyer says it. I hope that came across well.
God.
He says Drum Code for life.
Okay.
Alec, let's give this track a rating, dude. Let's give this release a rating. So before we get into that, let me just quickly go over our rating scale. So listeners, for those of you guys who are just joining us who haven't checked out our previous episodes of the podcast, we have a rating scale for the What Are We Listening To Now section. And so it goes from 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest. So level 1 is called One Listen. It's where Alec and I will just listen to a track once, probably never revisit it again, but we encourage our listeners to give it at least one listen. Level 2 is called Background Noise. It's where if a track comes on and you're doing other things, you don't mind it being on in the background. You're not going to make the effort to change it. You know, it doesn't really bother you. It's just there in the background to keep you company. Level 3 is called Turn It Up. It's when a song comes on. I mean, this is pretty self-explanatory. The song comes on, you're going to grab the volume knob, you're going to turn it up. That's, you know, that's how this song makes you want to react. Level 4 is Just Bought Tickets. So this is where you hear a release from an artist, and it's going to make you want to literally look up their tour dates and buy tickets. So level 4 is Just Bought Tickets. And level 5 is Speechless. That's where you listen to a song and it's just you and the music, and that's it. It has literally left you speechless when you heard the track. So level one, one listen. Level two is background noise. Level three is turn it up. Level four, just bought tickets. And level five is speechless. Alec, what do you think, man? What are you giving the Teach Me Amelia Lenz Acid remix? So, and this is for Amelia Lenz, so not for Adam Baer, for Amelia Lenz here.
I'm giving it a just bought tickets, man, a 4 out of 5. There's nothing more I can really say than just go out and listen to it. I love it. I absolutely love it. I do. Yeah. You know, there's nothing really, again, like, you know, I'm pretty stringy with my speechless rating. So yeah. There's nothing that's going to make me be like, whoa, this just changed my life. But this is an unbelievable track, and it's definitely
absolutely
yet another reason to go see it.
For sure, dude. She's so talented, and I'm going to be right there with you. This is going to be a just bought tickets for me. I've listened to Amelia Lenz mixes before. I've listened to some of her releases, and she is extremely, extremely talented, and this is going to be a just bought tickets.
Fantastic, man. Awesome.
Cool.
So my, you know, and you know how I feel about this guy coming up. So another one that we...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Chris Lorenzo. I freaking love this guy.
Dude, I know you do. You really, really do.
It's just great because it's essentially, you know, he's essentially modernizing UK garage, right? And blending it with bass house. Yeah. So it's really interesting because that's got like the... I don't want to make the sound. You can listen to it. I'm not going to make the sounds because it's not supposed to be audibly done by a human. but there's a certain sound that's almost dubby with it, you know? And it's just great. I just absolutely love this track, Hallucinogen. You know, he just when did he drop it? Like last week? Something like that.
Yeah, he dropped it at the end of January, and so it's the EP with Hallucinogen and Ghost Dub on it, and it's this EP. I mean, just so damn good, dude. You know, and I totally get it, Alec. Like, I know, I get it. I get why you're a big fan of Chris Lorenzo. You know, I've listened to a few of his mixes that you sent my way, and this EP definitely lives up to just how damn talented this guy is.
Yep, I mean, you know, and his individual songs that he does are fantastic as well, but you know, for me, what really, you know, when I saw him live at Audio in San Francisco, I mean, he's just so talented, and I was not expecting much. I wasn't expecting anything even really. Like, I've heard some of his stuff, I never really delved into him. I heard him because he's done a couple collabs with Hannah Wants, big UK tech house DJ. Shout out to her as well.
Yeah, she's massive in the UK. I won't forget my Creamfields group going absolutely nuts for her before her set. But yeah,
exactly. I caught her in Croatia too for Hideout Festival. But you know, I'm gonna give this track. I didn't finish my previous thought. When he mixes live, it's just something special. Like, he's just pure. It's just such great talent. You know, he mixing in different vocals, preview. Like, he knows how to do it. I've heard other DJs try it, but you know, when they, maybe you're the more, you know, technical DJ expert here, man. So I don't know if there's a term for this, and if anyone actually knows it, please comment it on our social media feeds.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, you know, when he previews the next song he's playing, but it's like on the build up. And then he switches it to a vocal that's, you know, in another song, and then drops the original song and then mixes in the other song. Yeah. So he does that, but with like rap lyrics, which is so freaking cool. Yeah.
It is cool.
Oh,
I love
God, it's amazing. And it's not just rap, but he does it with a bunch of different things. Anything that has like a vocal that people recognize and can sing. He'll mix it in. And he'll drop the original drop and then use and start mixing in that song with those vocals. I don't know what the technical term is for it, but it's a really unique, interesting way to DJ. And you can just see him. He's hopping around all different decks. So like, he's doing this on the fly. You know, reminds me a little bit of laid-back Luke's technical DJ abilities. I'm giving this song a very solid 4 out of 5. You know, just bought tickets. I want to go see him again.
Yeah. I really want to see him. But this EP isn't propelling me to want to say just bought tickets.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude. And not to knock on your man here, because I do like Chris Lorenzo a lot.
Dude. Whoa.
I know. No.
Ow.
I'm gonna give this a one listen.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around.
I nearly threw my mic through my office window. Okay.
Dude, I just want to get your reaction on the microphone.
Jesus.
But no, this is gonna be a very, very high turn it up for me.
What do you mean very high? There's no decimal places, man. So
I'm not saying decimals over here. I'm not saying decimals. The title track Hallucinogen is good. I always find it interesting when I actually enjoy the other tracks on the album as compared to the title track. So like Hallucinogen is a good song. But I actually liked Ghost Dub much more
really?
Than Hallucinogen. Yeah, dude. Yeah, for sure.
Interesting.
And
okay.
if Ghost Dub was the only track that was released, I would say Just Bought Tickets. But as an EP as a whole, this is going to be a turn up for me. And I hope I get a chance to see him live. But this is not propelling me to like want to go out and like go find tickets for him next time he's in town.
All right. I mean, fair enough. I can understand that. Yeah. It's definitely not my favorite of his songs, but
yeah.
But okay, yeah. All right.
But no doubt he is very talented. But
okay.
Anyways, dude. Yeah, I'm sorry for giving you a heart attack there. But anyways, dude, let's move into probably one of my favorite sections here, or one of our favorite sections here, artists that we're watching. Dude, Alec, why don't you start us off, man? You found a fire guy.
Yeah, like, man.
Who are you watching?
I need to look a little bit more into him. But this guy goes by the name just Eugene. I mean, that's literally his DJ name. And it's if you go on a SoundCloud, it's quite minimal. Is his cover art so
minimal?
I love that. And this guy is like really freaking good. And I stumbled across him. I can't remember exactly how, but I stumbled across him on SoundCloud. He's only got 2,918 followers on SoundCloud, right? And his Instagram, he only has 2 posts and 550 followers, right? And his Instagram is, again, another minimal thing. It's Eugene is Eugene. So I kind of like that, to be perfectly honest. I kind of like how he's going with it. But this song, we'll play a clip of it right here. Headshot is freaking fire. But it's not just this type of, you know, almost house, bass house vibe. He goes into trap too.
Yeah.
And he has some real, I mean, he does, you heard this one, you listened to it just before, his remix for Nero's Promises.
Remix, yeah. And, when you sent me Eugene for the first time, I listened to the song Headshot that we had just played. And, I thought, like, wow, this is a great song, you know? And then I tried to check out some of his other tracks, thinking that he's going to be playing more along to this bass house vibe. But, yeah, you're right. He dabbles into harder bass music. He dabbles into trap. So Eugene is a very, very talented person outside of just this one genre. I think he does a good job in dabbling in different kinds of sounds.
Yeah, so, you know, I absolutely love what he's going – where he's going with this, you know, I'm not entirely sure what he's doing because this is more of a recent find before this recording, but I'm definitely going to do some more research into him.
For sure.
And see what's going on. It says on SoundCloud that he's based out of LA, so that'd be kind of cool if I would be able see him if he plays anywhere. But I think he's just, you know, I think this is a guy to really keep an eye on. He's got some interesting stuff. He reminds me, actually, funnily enough, of Nitty Gritty in the way that Nitty Gritty bounces, you know, not in terms of the style, it's not, but how Nitty Gritty is able to expertly go between, you know, hit trap / future trap and that house, right? Because there's always a part of his set where he's playing a little bit more of house music. Akali does that really well too. And I can see Eugene doing this on more of the darker end of house and trap. I can really see that. And you know, some of his songs, I really appreciate this. I don't know if it was on purpose. To be honest, I think it really was. Because I see some of his light tracks like Casper and G-Rex, people like that, who definitely borrow a lot from the older school dubstep vibe. So he's got some songs and some tracks on there, which, you know, it's upgrading it with new trap type of melodies, right? But you could tell that it's definitely borrowing a lot of influence from the old school dubstep vibe. So he's all over the place, but it works. You know what I mean? Like, if you put these songs, you know, if I were to just mix it quickly, it would work. You know what I mean? Like, you would be able to go back and forth quite seamlessly, I think, from it. And yeah, it keeps it exciting. So I really want to hear a mix or see him live. But yeah, man, like, you know, for that individual song, like, that had me, I was considering giving a speechless just because I...
Wow, dude.
I was considering it. I'm giving it a Just Bought Tickets because I think that, you know, there's definitely some development that needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I can see where he's going. I just want to see where he's going a little bit more first before I say, like, a speechless to anything.
Wow. But, that's a massive compliment. Yeah, for sure. That's huge.
It's just, it was just unique. Again, like, I really appreciate what gives me speechless stuff is, like, people who really are pushing the boundaries on things, right? And it right. works. Like, it works, that it comes out. And I will never slight on anybody who's trying to do something different and it doesn't always work, right? But this guy nails for sure. it. So, yeah.
Thank you, dude. Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks for introducing us to Eugene. And we'll have a link to his SoundCloud and his social media as well in the show notes. So listeners, definitely go check that out. Yeah, I was really, really quite shocked from what I was hearing from this guy. I mean, he's extremely, extremely talented and just flows across genres so nicely. So thanks for that, man. All right, Alec. You know, like I said before at the top of the show, one of my favorite parts about this is that, you know, we get to interact with a lot of DJs and producers and people in the industry. And there was this one guy who started following us. His name is Rillo, and spelled W-R-I-L-L-O. I don't even know what to say, dude. I mean, here's the thing. When DJs start to follow us, I really like to check out their music just to see, like, you know, would these guys be a great addition to the artists we're watching section? And Rillo is a great addition to this section. He has 64 monthly listeners on Spotify,
wow.
327 followers on SoundCloud, right? He's already put out his own EP. He's got some originals. He's done some remixes. And he's actually working on a very interesting project that he was telling me about, one with DJ Slink. And as we get closer to the release date, I'm going to see if we can have him come on the show and, you know, maybe preview that track for us and just talk about, you know, what it's like working with DJ Slink and working on your own brand and things like that. But my favorite song from him that I've listened to on repeat a number of times is called What About Souls, and we're going to play it for you guys right here. Chill vibes, dude. Wow. Just absolutely love this guy.
I was, I was not expecting this. You know, I saw that you'd been talking to him a bit. Yeah. You know, I wanted to wait until the podcast, to really, you know, listen into this just because I wanted to get my reaction on air properly. But I don't know how this guy hasn't got more followers.
For sure. He's extremely, extremely talented. He seems to be making some big moves, this year. And
DJ Slink one is big. That's going to be a big thing for
huge. Him. Huge. Huge, dude. Yeah, I couldn't believe it when he told me that he was working with DJ Slink on an original. So, you know, best of luck to Rillo. Dude, thank you so much for following us on Instagram and for, just supporting our podcast as well. I'm super, super excited to be talking to you or talking about your music here on the podcast. Listeners, definitely go check him out on SoundCloud, on Instagram. We're going to have links to his socials and also Eugene's socials and SoundClouds in our show notes.
Yeah, awesome, man. I'm excited to see what this guy does to be talking to him.
Yeah. Awesome, dude. I think that concludes episode 3. Man. Another episode underneath our belts, man.
I know. Now we've got the proper, kit in here for recording, which is great.
Yeah.
And I'm just so excited. You know, listeners, we've got so much stuff we want to do with this podcast you wouldn't believe.
For sure.
You know, so we're going to be quite ambitious with this. And I'm just so glad to see people giving it good positive feedback, you know. But even if it's not, please just let us know. You can either comment it on social. You know, I want this again to, you know, reemphasize this from last episode. Just this is a real genuine thing where we're just two guys talking about electronic music and figured since we spend so much bloody time talking about it, why not engage other people with it? So, you know, this isn't about, you know, getting, I just want to like have these discussions with people and fill a gap where I think, you know, there isn't really anybody doing this right now in the podcast form. So it really means like every single person that interacts, hell, even just the likes, it really means a lot. And love seeing that we're engaging people, but don't be afraid to like reach out. I want to know your true thoughts. I mean, we're just two regular guys. It's, you know what I mean? Like that's the focal point here.
All right, listeners. Thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 3. My name is Samir Singhal.
My name is Alec Prieto.
And we will talk to you guys next week on episode 4. Be sure to give us a follow on our socials and to please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Those go a very, very long way. Thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you soon.